All right, so this week, Cinema Dumpster Land. This is a good one. We were supposed to have somebody else come in for this, but somebody got too drunk to drive, and somebody got too sick to sit podcast, to move.
Too sick to talk.
Yep, pretty much. So this week, we're watching Adam Chaplin. It's an Italian film. It came out in 2011. It's pretty fucking awesome, if I do say so
myself.
Is
that what they were speaking?
It was.
Yeah.
I originally thought it was a Swedish film because the company that released it is a Scandinavian country or company. But
I thought it was Spanish.
It's Italian.
That's how much I was paying attention, I guess, the dialogue.
All right, let's just get straight into it. Here we go.
So he's a Guido.
All right, Cinema Dumpster, episode 27, Adam Chaplin. I'm your host, Ryan Idle. I'm here, as always, with Gabe Asher. What is up, Gabe?
Nothing.
And also Axe Heaver, Jason.
Hey.
And this was Jason's pick. It was a pretty good one. I didn't get any clips from it, obviously, because it was all in Italian. There was nothing really great coming out of the audio. But, man, I'll tell you, right off the bat, my initial reaction for this film is I liked it a lot. It was a really fun movie. It reminded me a ton of Fist of the North Star, the animated film, if you've ever seen it.
Yeah.
Never seen
it. It's just the blood. That they structure the blood for anime.
Yeah, and like just the super fast like face punches. Uh-huh. Like one guy would get punched in the face like over and over and over and over until his head just blew off.
Yeah, everything was like a fucking like a fast bag, like a speed bag in boxing. Yeah.
And if you've ever seen Fist of the North Star, that's what happens like throughout the entire thing. But in Fist of the North Star, this guy has this super punch that he can do. It's just a one punch where it'll just make somebody's head fucking swell up and explode and his brains fly everywhere.
That was pretty fucking basically rad. What they did in this movie.
Yeah.
Every time he threw a haymaker, somebody's jaw flew off or
their
fucking
head just flew off. Yeah. Yeah. It felt a lot like Fist of the North Star. It also reminded me a little bit of Riccio. Uh-huh. Like in
Riccio. For sure.
Which is also a really great movie, and this is the same vein, which is basically just a really bloody action film.
It's just a fucking splatter flick.
But
the best one of this century, easily.
There, I'll get into it a little bit more, but there's one other, or later, but there's another movie that this reminded me of, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Okay, so
Legends of the Fall?
Legends of the Fall, really?
Brokeback.
Brokeback, man. The synopsis is...
I'm sure there's blood in that.
just a lot of people getting fucked in the ass.
Let's do the synopsis. Set in the fictional country of Heaven Valley, the film is the story of a man, Adam, who, following the suspicious death of his wife, begins to investigate her murder and, in doing so, discovers the involvement of a local mafia boss, Denny Richards. Denny...
Man, Denny.
Wasn't Denny the guy's name from The Room? Hey, Denny.
No.
Yeah, it totally was. The little runt that was running around. His name was Denny. I specifically
remember.
Probably.
I was thinking of the other guy.
Okay, back to synapses. Unable to trust the police, corrupt and controlled by Denny, Adam, consumed by anger, summons a demon who offers him superhuman strength and dark powers. The demon follows him during his trip, promising to lead Adam to the door of the murderer if he does everything the demon asks. This unleashes a bloody war that will bring Adam, the demon on his side, against the police department with its dark allies. The fight begins, and it will be extreme!
I really would like to have seen that.
That's a really good synopsis. Fight.
Yeah. Actually, you know what's interesting about the synopsis is it gave me more look into the movie than what actually the movie told me.
Really?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, at some points it was just so...
There was parts where I was confused, but I wrapped my head around the general concept, but it was really badly translated because it's not released in the U.S., so it wasn't they didn't have a big... Like, the subtitles were made... for English speakers of Europe. Like, it wasn't made for English speakers of America because it wasn't released here. So they didn't do a real great translation.
Any sense to me. English speakers of Europe don't speak a different English than we do.
The Queen's English?
They just didn't try that hard because they made it in Italian.
I get what you're saying. And it's I can't remember what that's called.
I'm sure it came with a ton of other subtitles that they did better for other countries that it got released in Europe. But the English ones were shit.
Fair enough.
Tons of the fucking... Because it's nothing's English first over in Europe except for fucking England, and I don't even know.
I was probably pretty lost just because I watched it in five pieces on top of everything else.
Oh, did it?
The translation was shit.
Not because it was boring, but just because I was tired.
Right.
And so I'd be all, oh, God damn it. I'd wake up 2 hours later. I'm all, Dad, I need to go back. I only got 40 minutes in.
Having Adam Chaplin nightmares? No.
No, there was a couple scenes where I was, like, pretty confused about what was going on.
Yeah, I didn't see him ever summon a demon. I don't remember any
of that. All it was summon, I didn't see him summon.
The demon just started chilling him all.
Yeah,
his wife died, and then all of a sudden the demon was on his shoulder, and, like...
It was pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
It's called globalization, when you globalize things and change, you know, when you're doing all of the restructuring of, language. Mm-hmm. Called globalization.
But they didn't globalize it, they just Europeized it.
I'm sure the demon.
If you call down the demons, will an Italian land on your shoulder? Start talking to you?
Localization. Nah, it doesn't matter. Anyways, so the movie opens with some cops getting their faces repeatedly punched in and they're exploding everywhere and it gets to this Fist of the North Star things. And it's pretty rad. Heads are exploding everywhere and cops' fucking jaws are getting fucking punched off. And that's where the movie starts, and he puts this cop's head on a stake, and that's it. So, I mean,
The shit is really so fucking good. Viking. The whole thing is really so Viking.
Nice look to it.
Yeah, it was...
The gore and the...
gore is really great.
The guy, I don't know if you guys
Even how cheesy the fucking head looks, it looked really cool with a lot of blood. It made it fucking look really cool.
No, they looked cheesy as fuck, but it was the good kind of cheese.
Yeah, it made it look really rad.
Yeah.
Like the cheese, bloody cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Where the hell are you going?
that's an inside joke that only you were getting, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Some hobo is, he's following this guy who's our protagonist of the film, Adam Chaplin, who looks
like fucking Thor crossed with fucking Gaul from Gorgoroth.
See, all I could think about every time I looked at this guy...
six pack for sure.
That guy was ripped. That guy was so huge. It looks like
a fucking WWE wrestler or something. Some fucking B-card dude in the lightweight division or something.
Right?
Did it give you a soft on, Jacob?
He was ripped.
Because he was ripped?
No, I'm just kidding. The guy reminded me of the Crow.
That was huge.
So I'm sorry, but I'm just going to refer to Adam Chaplin as the Crow throughout this entire
thing. Nah, please don't.
That's what I have in my notes, man. I'm sorry.
He doesn't look anything like the Crow.
Yeah, he does. They did the whole thing.
Dude, he would fucking destroy Jason Lee. I mean, Jason Lee got killed by a fake bullet.
Right, well, so Adam Chaplin in real life as well.
He's probably a model or something.
Dude, Adam Chaplin would punch his jaw.
I'm sure he's not an actor.
Well, Adam Chaplin would kick the Crow's ass for sure, especially because the Crow's like...
Not if the Crow has some crows.
Super emo.
Well, I mean...
Adam Chaplin would eat the heads. Yeah, Adam Chaplin's demon would eat the crows.
Okay, so what is Adam Chaplin...
He'll be eating Crow by the end of the movie because he lost.
But Adam Chaplin isn't anything with his demon and the crows and anything with his crows, then? That's what we're saying?
Yeah, but look at their physiques without their helpers. Which one would win?
I haven't really focused that much on their physiques.
I wanted to see that demon go all young Yoda on something and just fight.
Yeah?
Just run around in circles.
I liked him being an antagonizer better.
Anyhow, so the crow's there on a subway. And this hobo's...
God damn it.
Later on.
This hobo's hanging out and he's pouting. And, he's having these flashbacks about hanging out with her and, you know, they're being all sexy together. And then he's seeing her, like, tied up in chains while blood gets, like, intravenously pumped into some dude's head. That's all we see is just these flashy scenes.
Just, like, this kind of Jason-looking
Yeah, it's fucker. Really cool. And the main bad guy here, he reminded me a lot of what they did with Fist of the North Star as well, which is, like, this superhuman guy that's, like, getting fed like some sort of drug.
He actually, what's the name of the fucking main villain from the second Mad Max?
Oh,
Humongous?
Master Blaster?
Master Blaster.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so it's Humongous. Yeah, he kind of looks like Humongous.
Yeah.
But, like, more mutated. Humongous means a super mutant from Fallout.
Yeah, he's got a hockey mask on with an upside-down cross, like, on the mask.
Yeah, this movie's very, like, Satan-oriented, too.
Yeah, which is weird, especially to me because...
Not from Italy. They're fucking hella into Satan.
Really?
And the Catholic Church.
Yeah, everything's Catholic
fucking
shit.
So realistic and fucking so...
Well...
Pronounced. I mean, Satan is the Christianity is way more hardcore.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Like, yeah, when people go opposite end in fucking, like, super Catholic places,
yeah,
they start killing people and shit. Like, they're not...
This is
Satanism is evil as fuck in Europe.
Is that... Where is it where, like, the hugest black metal is at Sweden?
That's Norway. Norway.
Yeah.
But that wasn't even... That wasn't even satanic. That was fucking... Just they were trying to protect their Slavic roots.
All right. Fair enough. So, anyway, I like the look of this main bad guy, and he's wearing an upside-down cross. And what's interesting to me about the upside-down cross, though, is that not only does the bad guy in the film have an upside-down cross, but the protagonist is constantly also displaying the upside-down cross. And I thought that was kind of weird, like, and kind of cool that, like, it took me a minute to think about it. I'm like, why are they both, like,
it's rocking like Spawn.
These upside-down crosses?
Same exact both, stories as Spawn.
Because they're both evil. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's the bad guy, like, in Spawn, the fucking... It's a revenge flick. It's basically right. The same fucking kind
of... That's a very good point.
Maybe there's just a bunch of shit at Ross that had upside-down crosses on it.
But, okay, so the main bad guy in this one, he's not actually sanctioned by the devil. He just wants people to think he's scary. So he puts an upside-down cross. I am evil. Whereas the fucking... The protagonist is... Actually he's actually in league with the fucking devil.
Okay.
And so he's...
Yeah, that's good. I like that explanation. I appreciate that. It's a good one. So anyhow, what happens here? She's... the main bad guy here with the hockey mask and all the blood running in his face and everything, he's got his girlfriend, and this is a flashback again, and she's tied up in chains, and she's in big trouble for not obeying some sort of rules. He owes her money, or she owes him money for something, and... like he forgot, I don't know what, and that is never explained either. Like, did she forget? Does he have an insurance company that she didn't pay for? And this is hardcore, like, pay your bills, or we never know. So,
she owes him like $500, isn't that what he said?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the credits. It's supposed to be in an alternate universe, by the way. Also, it's not
$500 is worth fucking torturing somebody for hours over.
So they put
on principle
gasoline all over, and they put an upside down cross on her neck, and they light her on fire, and she like this whatever they put on her burns like instantly. Like it's really cool too. Like I liked all the effects in this.
Dude, and she lives like forever
she
after
opening
it.
Her mouth when she's on fire. That
dude, so fucked cool. up looking.
Looks, I was all that made my stomach feel weird.
Yeah,
it was just
yeah.
an odd fucking. It was like watching a puppet burn or something. It was
yeah,
so cool.
And that's probably like, and you can't help like I don't know if you guys have ever seen people really burned alive. Yeah.
Like, they didn't do a too bad job.
Yeah, it's creepy shit, and like
I mean, for the fucking the way, for the general feel of that movie, where most of the gore in that movie was just like super, like just splatter gore.
Yeah,
that burning scene was actually pretty legit. Yeah.
You know what's funny too is it makes me think about. And we'll just talk about this for a hot minute. Is that. What you can do with puppetry in just, general effects now, mm-hmm. instead of special effects, in this day and age is making me like, and I think most people in general look at something and when you see it looks really real because it is a physical object, even if it's a puppet or
it
whatever.
Makes
it
that more
it's
impressive.
It's always looked creepier when a puppet.
Well,
is,
yeah, I know. Anyways. And I mean, obviously, and I wish more filmmakers that had really large budgets were using and taking the work instead of using the CGI.
That's why I'm so excited for fucking the Evil Dead remake. Because it's all practical effects.
Well,
there's
yeah,
no CGI in it.
I'm looking forward to it too, for sure. It's getting kind of mixed reviews right now, but people are saying it's pretty good.
I'm waiting for a Zombies new one. Or is it
That looks good.
You know what I was?
And he's a big physical effects guy too.
And practical effects. What Brandon Cruz is in that? From Dr. No.
Really?
Yeah. He's acting in it. I was all looking at
him. No, but I'm hyped for the fucking new Evil Dead. It looks amazing. I don't give a fuck what the review said, and the people that matter have told me that it's great.
And they're already writing the second one.
Aren't
they doing the Army
Darkness? Raimi's doing Evil Dead 4. And he's not working hard on it, but he said he's going to start writing it.
Well, someone was already fucking... Whoever's on part of this one.
Oh, somebody wanted to do part two of this. Well, it's not Raimi. Raimi's actually talking about doing Evil Dead 4, which would be a sequel to Army of Darkness.
I actually heard that's not true. I heard that this latest one is going to be...
Evil Dead 2.
No, they're going to do 3, is what I've heard. Of this current genre that they've rebooted. But anyways,
well, how could it be 3 if there's only one?
No, they're going to have 2 and then 3 again.
Okay, yeah.
So,
well, Raimi
actually...
It'll
be a trilogy of this new series, is what I'm saying. But back to my original point, I don't think I got that across very well, is that you can, using puppetry and these old school ways of filmmaking, horror and gore, really are way more effective than any of the CGI you could use. And... Well, I really like movies like
Cabin
in the Woods. I really liked it.
It was heavy on the CGI.
There's a lot of CG, and they kind of had to in that film because of all of the craziness that they wanted to portray, and that's fine.
Yeah, there's no way you could have the amount of budget they would have had to take to physically make all of those things. Would have been astro-fucking-nomical.
Well, it's hard to say, really. I mean, that's kind of what my point is.
To actually get it to the same scale they had in that movie, it would have been fucking huge.
I don't know, man. Think about movies like...
compared to what you're paying for a billion dudes to fucking generate on a computer.
Yeah, I know.
It's probably about equal.
That's my only point on the whole thing is like...
Well, for one dude to create one character, you got 3 people creating one character. One dude to digitally render one character. Yeah. You've got 3 people to physically render one character.
Well, and then we can get into the whole argument of like CGI is getting
cheaper. Anyways, Cabin in the Woods did it right. If you're gonna do CGI, they did it right. It's more effective. It's definitely more effective, like in small instances, to do it physically.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. I was thinking about what was that one movie? The little elves running around. What's that movie called?
Gremlins?
No, it's close to Labyrinth. A lot of people think about it.
You're talking about
Dark Crystals.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Like, that movie is so great.
Yeah, it's so creepy.
So many puppets. Yeah, it's totally creepy. Still to this day, I'm creeping me out. Maybe it's because I went and saw it.
I got a poster of that shit.
Anyhow, back to the movie. We see this this high-end classy dude. And he's hanging out in his limo and looking at this manufacturing plant of some sorts. And this cop shows him, like, this kid sitting around in the rain. And he's talking about how there's a ghost down in the sewers. And the whoever the boss guy is there, who I don't know who that guy was. I don't think they ever explained him.
Was he a detective?
Oh, yeah, he was the detective. You're right. My bad. He says, go down there and check it out. And... cop goes down there with his gas mask on, and what was this? Heaven's HPVD or HP Police Department, something like that. Heaven Populous, something. So he goes Heavenly down there. Place. What's that?
What's the name of the town?
Heaven Place?
Heavenly Place or Heavenly?
Something like that. I can't remember. I
thought you said Heaven's Valley.
Heaven's Valley? Yeah, that sounds right. Heaven's HPP? Valley PD.
Yeah.
HPVD. Some sort of venereal disease.
a way to watch television better.
The cop he cruises down there and he finds this he finds an upside down cross and blood, and he's all weirded out, and the crow is there.
Stop. They're remaking the Crow, by the way.
Let's not get into that. So my note here says, and this was a while ago, we haven't had a chance to record in a while, but my note says he finds the chupacabra in human form. Which I think is, like, that something burnt or desecrated. Oh, it was the guy he beat the shit out of. Mm-hmm. Did we skip that?
No, he just finds a dead body down there. The cop does. It never showed Chaplin killing him.
Wasn't that the fight in the hallway?
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I scrolled down too quick.
No, because Chaplin fights him in the hallway.
No, because when they're on the... Well, hang on. I know what's going on.
Before.
I have the notes here. So when the crow is on the subway, there's that bum that steals his iPod, and he runs off.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, so, the guy. And that's another thing I really liked about this movie is how they just put fucking makeup on everyone.
Yeah. Everyone looked
every single person in this fucking movie.
What the hell's wrong with that guy's
eyes? Like, there's like literally like three or four people in the whole movie that don't have weird prosthetics on their face. Like, the bum who stole his iPod has this huge fucking obtruse alcoholic nose and, like, a scar across his face. Well, like, the cops have all this weird fucking acne and, like, just look all fucked and leprous.
And you know what? I like that a lot, too. And that also kind of took me back to Fist of the North Star as well, because it was kind of in the same vein. And the thought is that they're living in a world, during Fallout. So
the only person who didn't, the only people who didn't really look affected, there was three that I can think of: the dude's gay son, the main bad guy's gay son, Adam Chaplin, and his wife.
Yeah.
And those are like the only three that don't have like crazy prosthetics making them look fucking all.
And diseased. The demon, obviously.
Well, the demon's...
Yeah, he's all natural.
So anyway, he's pretty healthy for a demon. For
We're going to take a skip back here before the Chupacabra's found. And the thief is like runs down into this hallway, and he's hearing creepy music, and he goes through the guy's iPod, and all he sees is like Nickelback on there.
Oh, God.
No, it's a bag, and he's just like, there's nothing in there. It's his wallet.
I think there was Creed on there, too.
The only thing that's in his wallet is, like, this newspaper clipping, and he's, like, super pissed.
I think it was actually a coupon. He flipped it over.
For a Nickelback CD.
Yeah. Where the hell is it?
Get a free bottle of $2 Chuck and a Nickelback CD.
Such a bad joke, man. I'm sorry I went there with the Nickelback. So he's basically... confronts the guy, and he's like, well, you know, you get away from me. And the crow goes all Super Saiyan on his ass, and he rips his arm off, and then his arms are ejaculating blood all over the place, and he just fucking punches his fucking face off and takes off his jaw. It's pretty rad. And then that's what happened to that guy down there. And
then
the cop comes across this dead body, and the kid said he saw the ghost, and he saw... the crow down there, basically. And he finds the Chupacabra. And the cop says he wants... what did he say? He wants to get the... What?
It smells really bad, so he wants to leave.
That's right. And he gets...
Which the guy literally died like 20 minutes before he got there, so it couldn't have smelled that bad.
Unless Adam...
I mean, like, unless it's just fucking the smell of the sewer or something.
Adam Chaplin gave him a Cleveland steamer.
When he gets force choked by that rat, and he's just shooting the shit out of it.
I was watching the special features on the DVD, and it's a little fucking mechanical fucking...
Oh, that's awesome, man. I would love to see the special features for this.
Yeah, the dog was a puppet, too. Fucking, and the rat, yeah, it was just all wires and fucking with fur and crap. Lopped on top of it. It's pretty good.
I bet like all the
dead alive style.
So they after they find that, the cop runs back up, and they drive to Heaven Valley Police Station. No, the cop comes across the crow and says, you know, I'm gonna shoot the shit out of you. And he's like, no, you can take me into custody. And he goes like willingly, because he wanted to go to the cop shop,
because
he's looking for information on his wife's killer. They drive to Heaven Valley, where he's like in chains and shit, or they're freed him. They let him go. He's not handcuffed, and he's sitting there getting interrogated by the police chief.
Oh, man, this shit is so awesome.
Yeah, and they're like, it's fine, you can leave, sir. He doesn't have any weapons. And I'm like, dude, he's got his fucking fists of fury.
But they don't know about
that. You're going to get wrecked.
So well, the cop, we want to get you because there's a fucking headless, armless fucking dude over here, but we think you're cool.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll kill us and take off our arms.
No, they don't even say that. Isn't it the fucking... It's you
think it would be implied that there's a fucking...
They don't even say that. It's the fucking... It's the commissioner. He's like, no, I'm good. I got this guy.
And well, kind of what we didn't talk about is, and we didn't see before, is we just saw the demon while he was in the alley, but this is the scene where we get to see the demon and where he exists.
And he doesn't, nobody else can really see him. He just kind of speaks in Chaplin's ear. I think he's more of a, like a, almost a metaphor. Like he's not physically there.
Yeah, but he's a power and he talks to him. He's an influence.
Yeah, he's on his shoulder talking in his ear and shit like that.
And but we can see that he has this upside down cross in his shoulder that's like huge, looks like a cut. Weeping. And he starts bleeding and
spouting
and shit, and the demon living in his right shoulder. And right here. The crow's back wound with the cross starts spurting. And all crosses start bleeding, and then a small, friendly child comes out of his back.
It's like Chud or something.
So the captain grabs a shotgun, right?
Yep.
And starts trying to shoot the shit out of fucking the crow. He puts it to his head.
Yeah. Remember, he smacks him around with it.
Oh, yeah.
Because he thinks he's going for it, and he grabs it and whips him in the face with it.
Oh, yeah, but then the crow fucking kicks him at least 100 times in the face. It's so rad. This scene is so fucking rad when he's kicking this guy in the face. Dude, it's so amazing. He's just kicking the shit out of this guy. His foot is like fucking Chun-Li just going...
Dude, seriously, it's exactly Chun-Li.
If you could see in physical form what Chun-Li's fucking yat-yat-yat move would do to your face, this movie shows probably the best that you could ever get out of it. And this
it would put you into a... It would turn you into a wall that speaks.
That's essentially what happens to this guy.
It reminds me of Street Trash, that one spot where fucking half his head stuck, just sliding down.
Yeah, and but he's still talking.
Yeah.
Dude, this guy's just a fucking pile of goo, like, flattened to a wall. And his
face, it's just, like, literally, like, this fucking, like... piece of fucking human leather to the wall, and he's still giving out information.
No, my thought process here was, man, this is the worst interrogation tactic you could ever use. Like, just beat the guy into a fucking bloody pulp and then be like, all right, tell me who the guy is.
Not just a bloody pulp.
He just has eyes and a wall.
Not just a bloody pulp. He has no bones left. He's just literally, he's almost two-dimensional at that point. He's almost drawn on the wall.
Yep. And so he gives him some info, and then we go to the upside-down cross apartments. You see how they have the upside-down cross in the apartments? And, we get this weird footage of the crow hanging out at home, and he's,
I kind of want to watch this again and count how many fucking upside-down crosses there are in the movie. Yeah.
And it's footage of dogs and newspaper clippings, and the crow's, like, cleaning himself of his, valiantly of all of his blood from the day after all of his killings. I mean, the guy is basically, anytime you fight somebody... He's basically just taking all of their innards and putting them on himself.
Dude, seriously.
Like, it's good. So ridiculous.
It every time he fights, he looks like the chick coming out of the fucking out of the pud in the puddle in The Descent.
The
puddle. That you know what I'm talking like about? That scene where they find the fucking death pile and, like, the chick jumps out of the fucking shit. Like she's just covered in blood. That's what he looks Frontier like after style. Every...
She comes cruising out of the fucking...
Yes.
Out of the basement. Exactly.
Yeah.
Fucking
glute. Yeah. And then he's reminiscing about his lost wife, and he's really sad. And
it's, apparently this shit's really good for, like, keeping your curls crisp, though.
Yeah.
Because his curls are fucking amazing the whole movie.
Man, you were really into it, this guy.
And he had the six pack.
Did he have a six pack? I don't know if he did. He did, huh?
I don't know.
Count them up. Humongous pecs. I know that.
That nuzzle on them. Mm-hmm. So there's Nissan Sentra shows up. It's not a car commercial.
It's not a selling point for Nissan.
I got The Walking Dead. That shit's fucking killing me, bro.
Oh, dude, and, seriously.
Anyhow, he's remembering about them being in this really dark cave and how she's like, oh, it's this tome and there's a bad man watching and he needs to go in there and the crow needs to do something. It's really confusing. I don't really know what to take away from this scene, but I think that's when he gets the demon. I think that's when he finds the demon. Like, so in the synopsis, it says that he summoned a demon, but it almost seems like his wife led him to the demon. From my viewing of the film.
Yeah, he had it, but he didn't really know what it was until it, like... It helped him in that scene where he kills the cop, right? But, yeah. Like, that was, like... He didn't really know what was going on until this scene later where they kind of introduce themselves. And he's like, I'm going to help you, but you got to do this for me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And I really like this puppet demon. I thought he was such a great character.
He was fucking great.
He was really awesome.
Awesomely voice acted. His fucking dialogue was super tight.
Yeah, I wish I could
was good.
Understand Italian because I would like to hear what it sounded like. But
yeah. Well, the voice was fucking great, whatever it was. I don't know if he was... That's one of the things that makes me like foreign movies more is like...
Because you can't realize the bad acting.
Yeah, you can't really tell. Like, they can just do like a shitty job, but like have a general feel to what they're saying. And it won't bug you as much because you're just reading it rather than actually understanding it.
You know what's interesting about something like that?
You can't be like, people don't talk like that.
Right, but that's just us enjoying it more because we don't understand the dialect. You know what was amazing to me, and I wish would happen a little bit more, and obviously it's far-fetched for a lot of these people, or actors, but you remember the movie Life is Beautiful?
What was that?
Roberto Benigni?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Roberto, no, I never watched it.
It was also an Italian film, I believe. It was about that Jewish guy and during World War II. Well, what happened with that movie was the original movie was in subtitles, and that's how I watched it, and I enjoy it in subtitles overall in that movie. But when they redid it in English, the actor, Roberto Benigni, went back and did all of his own lines in time in English. So
it probably is better than having some white dude with no accent
Top of it, too. No, it really comes across, like... And I mean, I'm sure that was a lot of work to time all that up and rehab him do all of his own dubbing. But I mean, that's really great, and
it makes for better storytelling. Yeah.
And just in my opinion, makes the movie deserve the best picture that it won that year more. I mean, I love that movie, dude. That's such a great story. God, I could watch that again. That is a good movie. You seen it?
Yeah,
it's great. So,
you know what we should do?
What's that?
Grabs like an old Mexican horror or something of mine that has no subtitles, and we just fucking talk about it and say, this is what happened. This is what I think is going on.
Yes, you're totally right. Let's do that. Okay so upcoming new idea.
I kind of caught the ass end of that.
We're gonna
you have an untranslated.
Yeah, I have tons of them.
Really?
So we're gonna watch one of Gabe's crazy horror movies, and we're all going to watch it separately, and then we'll sit down and try to describe the story.
Some insight. As long as it's super simple, don't try to give us some convoluted fucking... Like, give us, like, a straight-up slasher or something.
Yeah.
So, I'm still on the puppet demon. He's great since you're back now. I was thinking when he's, like...
That's awesome. That's a great idea.
They're in the window, and I was thinking, like, he should be, like, snacking or something and talking about the weather. Like
he's just all looking outside.
Yeah, it's so rad.
It was pretty awesome.
And he says that he tells him that the only hate can end this story, and it's really great. And the demon hiding in his back.
I love this movie really, like, it did it right in so many fucking areas. The story was fucking fantastic, and the dialogue, the way even with a shitty translation, the dialogue was fucking great. Like,
it's a good movie. I think we can all agree on this.
Well, I'm just, I'm kind of gushing, but the whole fucking
gushing a little bit.
But it, the just dialogue like, was chocolate. Fucking amazing. The way everybody like, talked about these like certain the things.
Victims gushing, gushing.
Right.
No, I agree with you, Jason. So, but the demon, he does in this next scene explain like why he can't be out in the world. This is. Hey, I'm reading my notes again. I think I did this when I was drunk, but I wrote the
it's a pretty fucking. That's a pretty good chance you did.
The demon hides in his back because the world will not understand him. He explains. It's not like he says. It's not unlike Kermit the Frog.
What it the hangs fuck out in the thinking? Fucking pond because the world won't take him.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever typed. Oh man, I got problems.
Yoda-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say I thought that's what the fucking that's what the demon said, but you just came up with that analogy on your own.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Just came up with that on my own. So we see a man.
It's like I don't remember him saying anything about Kermit the Frog, but
so it's maybe I don't know. Maybe Ryan knows a little bit of Italian. So we see this guy in sweatpants. It switches gears on us here, and he's picking up two butcher knives, and he's heading off.
This scene was bizarre.
Yeah, this whole introduction is a little bit weird because I was like, is this Adam Chaplin? Is this the Crow?
Yeah, I can't tell who it was. I thought he just put on a hoodie.
But those sweatpants, I recognize at every Walmart I've ever been to, for even sure.
This is another guy. He actually kind of looks like the criminal at the beginning of the movie. This guy has even worse of a fucking alcoholic nose and like the huge scar on his face.
Yeah, his face is fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't see his face Mickey right away. Yeah, he does.
He looks like what?
Mickey Rourke?
Yeah.
Ooh, dude, yeah, the wrestler style. Gnarled up for sure.
So he grabs a couple butcher knives. I don't know why he just finds butcher knives and grabs them. We don't know what this guy's story is, but...
Dude, they're so cheap looking,
he heads off into the cold, hard world that we're viewing right now, and a couple of bums, they're hanging out. They look like fucking shit, and I mentioned that, too. They just look their faces are mangled.
Up. Dude, yeah, they're like addicted to leprosy or something.
Addicted to leprosy?
And tanning.
With leprosy. Some more leprosy with me. And,
tanning
pack. I mean, these guys are better than some zombie extras are hanging out.
Ryan's so, getting fucking wrapped up in his hilarious commentary.
No, I don't make any sense to myself when I'm rereading it. So the butcher, the guy holding the butcher knife, he's cruising by them and he bumps into one of them.
He doesn't even want to. He's not. He's gonna ignore them for the most part until they fucking call him out.
He's like a silent hero, you know, or killer. So the guy calls him out and he's like, "Hey, man!" And this guy gets fucking wrecked instantly. This guy just, what does he do? Does he cut off his arm?
He just cuts him into pieces. Yeah,
the first guy
splits him down the fucking head, doesn't he?
No, that's the second. Man. That's the second guy.
I thought the second guy survived.
The second guy gets cut this way. No, the second guy gets cut across his fucking face. They both die. Remember, there's only two.
There's two. Yeah,
and then the guy who saw it.
There's two that actually happened. I don't know who saw it.
It was another bum. That's why I thought it was the second guy.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, there was nobody was actually hanging out with those two that saw it. Maybe somebody saw it from afar. I don't remember.
Wait, no, you're totally wrong. The guy who gets kicked in the face at the end, who's down there, and he's like, "Leave me alone," and then he chops him across his jaw, like you were saying. That's the guy who lives.
Oh, he actually does live.
Yeah, he's in the movie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, no, they suck his fucking life force out.
No, they give him life force.
No, they suck. No, the dude sucks his life force out.
He says something else.
The bad guy does. He puts the fucking shits in him, and like pumps it into his head.
Right. He's it's the drug that keeps him alive.
It's other people's life.
No, it's not.
He died. Yeah. He killed him immediately after. But, he sucked his life force.
I said he was still alive sometime.
He was. He did live. Right. He did.
Both y'all.
Yeah, we are getting it.
But he was a fucking piece of like he was a chundered mess, though. He did live, though. You're like right.
Mickey Rourke.
Not unlike Mickey Rourke.
The real one.
So,
still a good actor.
Oh, yeah, he rocks.
As a chundered mess, he's still a fucking great actor.
He was very believable as a whip-wielding maniac. Too.
Can't wait to see him as fucking Marv in the part two of the fucking comic book movie.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing a prequel.
That's funny.
That's weird. So anyhow, the butcher, as I called him in this, because he has butcher knives, goes through his cosmetic lesson, and he creates his wrestling face, which is what
looks like
really
Sting.
Weird. Yeah, it looked like Kiss. I'm like, what?
No, Sting.
I was getting the fucking ICP vibe.
Well, that's everybody now. But before that, it would have been Sting, and it would have rocked.
So they ask him to. There's a couple of like investigators that are looking for him. And they ask him to come with them, and these guys' faces are fucked up all the hell too. And he goes with them with the wrestling, I believe. Makeup still intact. Yep. And he's greeted by some old friends, some people he knew back when they were in the army together, or the war, or whatever war it is that they're referring to that we don't really know about in the film. And it seems that this guy's name is Mike, threatening, and they have some dirt on him for war crimes he created, like killing kids or something. They don't explain this either, but
he's just basically a bad dude. They lead him up to being a bad dude.
Mm-hmm. And, a killer. Mike rages that it's blackmail.
Children will grow up to be terrorists, you know. You have to kill them.
And Mike calls him the fuck out, and he's pissed. And rightly so. And because he seems like a real scholarly gentleman with his wrestling makeup and his gnarly-ass face and his butcher knives and fucking just killing people randomly.
And his sweats.
Yeah, the sweats were a great touch.
What happens next here? It's just,
they fucking try to get information about Adam.
That's right. They're asking for information on Adam. No, they want him to go kill Adam Chaplin.
Yeah, but they think he knows who he is.
Yeah, they thought they were cahoots or something.
Yeah, and then doesn't he just, like, break into this wall randomly? Like, he just busts a wall open and goes through it?
Well, why the hell else would you bust the wall?
Oh, that's where, because they're at the cop shop.
Mm-hmm.
And so he doesn't use the door. He just busts through the wall. Because they have everything tied off where the captain was killed.
Yeah.
So he busts through the wall and he goes in there, and there's like blood spatters of the upside down crosses, and
he actually gets a little scared. Like from the beginning of this, he's not fully on board. He's actually kind of intimidated the whole
Chaplin
time.
Chaplin must have fucked that place up, because I remember he said that the place was almost collapsing back there.
Yeah.
Didn't he just kick the guy in the face and leave? What did he do? Did he just fucking ninja his way straight through
the Well, migration? It is fucking, like, post-apocalyptic Europe,
that
so...
That looked like a fucking cement fucking building.
It did.
Yeah. And this room
rock is... Rocking foundation.
It's funny, because this room is, rightly so, covered in complete in complete blood, and there's, like, cockroaches all over the floor, and, like, that's when he books it out of there. He's like,
he's just like,
shit.
Dude, do you guys want me to fuck with this guy? I don't know if I got it.
And so then they take him to this, like, super weird door with a huge wolf head on it, and he gets greeted by our enemies here, the hockey faced upside down man, and
hockey face upside down
happy
man,
happy ending mouth mask.
Yeah, and he and he's seems to be in some sort of doctor's outfit. He's a doctor apparently. He's talking about, I'm Denny Richards, and he's the greeter of the city. But his dad owns the city, is what the story is, and he's kind of a fuck up. And his dad is like. Top of the city.
His dad was, but he took over his dad. His dad's dead.
Oh, okay.
It shows him killing his dad.
Oh, okay, right. So then, but then he gets into the drug Neurosil and how he needs this drug, because at some point he was attacked by his own dog, and his dog ate his face
and the
off.
Drug actually comes from human brains.
Does it really?
That's See, why he's that. Pumping it from. That's why he has the dude that they saved, that the other, the guy we're talking about right now, chopped his face. They saved him so
by
he
using
could...
Neurosil. I thought it was just a drug. I didn't know it came
No, he's sucking that shit straight out their brain.
Okay. Well.
And that's why he's...
No, they say... I don't think that's the case.
I think
case,
he's trying
Jason.
To fucking still mess with the stuff. I thought he was making him like
he,
that.
He had his fucking IVs like straight into that dude, and they were pumping into his fucking brain.
No, but that's how he served... That's how he saved the guy. The guy was dead. He saved him using nerves.
And then he chopped because his head after he sucked all the shit out of him.
No, he just killed him. Yeah, they explained that Neurosil helps regenerate your cells. And this
so they just brought that dude back? Okay, so I was just confused. I was thinking of it backwards.
That's what happens with the translation and weird shit. Yeah, that's what I was figuring. Yeah.
Okay. No, well, that makes sense, too. So he just brought that guy back so he could get information on... But that guy didn't know anything about Adam Chaplin.
He wanted to blackmail the other dude or something and say
he's just looking for guinea pigs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Okay. That's cool. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I just mistranslated
that. Well, and the only reason that Denny lived in the first place is because of the Neurosil drug.
Okay. I'm totally good with that.
That's what I took from it, at least.
Good.
So
what did the dog get spooked by like a demon out of the cave or something?
I think so. I think that's what it was supposed to be. At least they used the same set from what I saw. What happens here? So he's talking to Mike and tells him that the guy who got axed in the face is still alive thanks to the drug. And he's like, I'll keep this guy alive and he's going to testify against you and put you in jail for killing him and his friend. So that's why we're keeping him alive. And he says, and then that's when he tells the whole dog story and just basically says, you know, Mike, you have to go find the crow and kill him for me because that's what I need you to do. And, right? We all in
yep.
the pit?
Yep. Thank you for clearing that up for me, actually. I was a little confused over that.
So before that scene ends, though, he takes off his hockey mask and he has no face. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
It's like no face, and Mike's like vomiting in despair.
Yeah, which he has no fucking room to vomit. His face is. I mean, he has a face, but it's not much better.
Everybody's face is fucking ugly in this movie, so I don't know. There's a huge, some home bum opens a bag on the floor and gets hit with gas in the face. Guy still has a broken arm, seriously? How did I get back to that? You guys remember that?
Mm-mm.
Huh. It's like I copy and pasted something in the wrong spot. I'm getting better at this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And then the crow shows up and fucking kicks his leg in. You guys need to help me on this. Okay, so there's the bum.
It's been a week.
He's cruising around. Yeah, it has been a week. He's cruising around and he has his arm cut off still. The guy that was with his buddy that got his arm cut off had the gun. And the crow shows up and fucking kicks his leg in. He's asking for info on how to find the guy. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're on the same page now. This guy.
How'd he got his face crushed into the wall, though?
That was the guy that survived.
Okay.
The other guy just got his arm cut off that had a gun.
And ran off, okay.
So Mike grabs... back on track here. So Mike grabs a flashlight. And
there's so much gore in this movie that I can't remember
it
all.
A long time ago. It was a whole goddamn week ago. It's already lost. Mike grabs his flashlight and heads into the now burnt upside down cross apartments.
Yep.
And Mike gets to the roof with his trusty flashlight and butcher knife in hand.
They really liked having fucking conflict scenes on the roof.
Yeah, there's two. Yeah, you're right. It's probably the same roof, too. They probably just had access to one roof.
Yeah.
I mean, I can appreciate that, though. I mean, they only had so much.
Well, you haven't even brought in the two fucking sons.
No, we haven't. Gotten to them yet, I don't believe.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh. So, the butcher knife, the sons come in a little bit later. I think...
Just basically right after. They're like, they're the ones that bring Mike in. But they're kind of small characters at that point, and then they take him out.
Yeah, I think you're right. So Mike finds himself face to face with the Crow and gets instantly owned. And is ready to give up the goods. What did he do to him here? Did you just fucking...
He just throws him off the... Yeah. He just blasts him off the fucking roof. He just punches him.
He's punching his face
turns
in.
Yeah, he turns into goo, and then he falls off the fucking roof. Like, his whole upper part of... Like, head and shit. And then he falls off the fucking roof onto the two brothers' car.
You're right. That's why I didn't bring this... I did not put this together well, because I thought I would be doing it the next day, and I would remember. So, his brothers drove... The brothers of...
Drove him there.
The main bad guy drove him there and said, okay, here's where he is.
It's basically like kind of a project kind of apartment-style building.
And he fucks him up and tosses him off the side.
Dude, he's literally... They built him up so badass, and he just gets fucking completely owned in, like, seconds by Chaplin. It's not even close.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Yeah, and they're freaking out because his face is all broken in and dead on the car, and fucking...
And so the
brother freaks out and gets his car and takes off.
Yeah, and the gay brother gets left
blind
there.
One, he's blind.
Yeah, blind and like kind of like emo looking.
He has no idea where he's going. And with
and Chaplin kills him.
I love what Chaplin does with this fucking blind dude. He just fucking wrecks him, takes a fucking pole, and sticks it all the way up his ass, all the way out through his head.
And just sticks carries it around the top of the fucking building.
And he just carries around like a fucking war banner. It's so awesome, dude. He's just like, fucking check this shit out.
And he's still alive this whole fucking time. The shit comes out. His fucking, like, he's still alive when they show up later for the battle. Because his other fucking his brother goes back to his dad and he's like, I lost him. I couldn't find him. He ran away. And, like, they go back to go fight Chaplin, but dude's still alive impaled to this fucking pole on the roof.
Yeah,
For the final showdown.
And so they get the info, and so the main bad guy brings all of his men down here to be in this huge last battle with him. And he's just rocking that pole with this guy, and he's screaming. Dude, it's fucking really great, dude. It's so pissed. Derek... Or Kermit the D?
Is that what you're calling the fucking demon?
Kermit the D.
Is that the demon's name?
That the demon gives his name. He gives his name, Derek, or Kermit the D.
Both work.
That's what I wrote down.
I'm Derek.
Sorry. So Derek, the blind, is still bleeding on a pole like a total nub as... I'm never doing this again. I can't do this. I cannot write my comments when I'm fucking hammered at 10 o'clock at night. This makes absolutely no sense to me. I knew what I was thinking at the time when I wrote it.
Yeah.
And now, looking back, it's a bad idea. It's a really, really bad idea.
You gotta watch these things at like 6 in the morning.
No, I just have to... I gotta do it... Well, usually I do, like, on a Saturday, but whatever. So, anyways, the cops show up, and they start shooting shit out of everything. It's not very effective at all, and there's, like, a gas can leaking, and everybody's fucking still shooting, and it blows up, and it blows fucking everybody's faces off.
Like, literally, like, half of the fucking cops that are there die in this explosion.
Yeah, dude, and it's really great. Like, their faces are just getting melted off, and everybody's getting wrecked. I like that, too. I mean, that's everything they did with these effects were pretty great. And so the Crow comes out, and he's, like, he's got the sun impaled, and he's, like,
prancing around. He just kind of sticks him in the fucking top of the roof, and he's like, let's go, bitches.
Yeah. He just leaves him there, and plants him like a war banner. And then everybody charges and just gets fucking there. We have, like, a good 10-minute face-punching scene where everybody's face is just getting punched over and over and over, and just fucking blood just pouring out of everybody's orifices.
Yeah, if they're not getting punched in the face, like, the couple of body blows he does, like, cut people in half.
Yeah, and if he uppercuts, your head just flies right off your body. Like, don't fuck with an uppercut, because you're going to be dead. It's a really great scene. And then the what happens is the son there with him. Do you guys remember?
Yeah. He's the secondary. Son? He's basically like the secondary boss. He's like the pre-boss.
Yeah, mini-boss is what they call him. And he gets shot all the shit. Doesn't his dad kill him?
No, Adam shoots him with a shotgun.
Oh, really? Adam's using guns now?
Yeah, he grabbed a gun from somebody and he shoots him with a shotgun.
And then that part after he shoots him is so fucking rad when he stomps on his son on his face.
Yeah.
That was cool.
It's just like, dude, that is good shit right there.
Yeah.
I could watch that.
Crushing. Over.
So then he gets into the huge battle with the last boss here. We're almost done. This is the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Ranting a little bit. And this is awesome epic battle. It's pretty good. And he has these regeneration powers because of the drugs he's taking. So after he gets an arm ripped off, like he can put it back on. And this reminds me of Ninja Scroll. If you've ever seen that animated movie, that's what that reminded me of a lot.
Watch that with you the first time, actually.
Yeah, the last boss, like, he can't die, and so, like, how does he kill this guy? Which is really great how they did that. He just covers him in fucking molten gold and sinks him to the bottom of the ocean. Yep. Shit's fucking great.
It was pretty good.
And then what happens? So, he goes Super Saiyan again, he pulls out his ribcage. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
And he goes to town on his face, living in the air. He gets punched over and over and over. He punched his mask into his fucking face. Like, all the way back into his brain.
Off again.
Is that what he says?
Yeah.
No, you'll never have to take that off again? See, that's what I missed. It's a lot of... Because I was reading and, like, trying to type notes.
Yeah.
It was a little bit challenging for this challenged person. So then he blows him up, and the guy fucking explodes completely with his stun staff. He takes the staff with the stun on it, just smashes him, and it just explodes everywhere. The demon says he will keep his promise, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
he kind of goes to this weird afterlife thing where his wife is... Isn't she, like, on a swing?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Super cliche.
So they're in limbo together and somewhere, and he just sends them off there. And
so what the hell does the demon want? Just fucking carnage?
Yeah, he just wanted a bunch of fucking... So, y'all
do what you want, just
maybe
kill. Discord.
It's hard to say, maybe he needed some souls. Maybe he needed a certain amount of souls.
He had a quota.
But I wouldn't figure Adam wouldn't have to give his as well.
I don't know, man. I really don't know. Anyhow, this was a great movie.
20 for 1 is good, I guess.
It was really good. I enjoyed it quite a lot.
Oh, and the music. Now that that's coming in, the music was fucking great, too. Music fit the movie so well. It was very 80s, but like updated enough that it wasn't annoying.
Where'd you find it? YouTube or what?
Where did I find it?
Yeah.
Pirate Bay.
So, Pirate Bay or my house? Two places you
can find it. Yeah, I couldn't find it on the site. I usually use it with the Pirate Tracker, so I found it on Pirate Bay.
Okay, so you didn't even get it from Gabe. I thought you ripped it from Gabe's copy.
I mean, I did rip it from Gabe's copy.
So, you should have fucking... You should have watched that How the Blood Was Made thing.
No, I couldn't find it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I like to look it up, though. All right, so next week is my pick, isn't it?
Yep.
And it's been a while since I've had to think about this. I don't know how bad I want to piss Gabe off. I guess we'll find out. Because I'm going to try to find something different. I'm not sure how different, but... You know what? Actually, since it's my pick, and I like your idea so much, I think we should do that in the next podcast. So you pick.
Or we just do that for Gabe's next pick. He's next.
I want to try it the next one. Spice it up.
Okay.
And then I can pick after you. We can switch it up. Doesn't matter.